Before we begin this episode, I want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Anything as little as like a dollar gets you like access to some archival posts, but $5 gets you video episodes of every new episode. $10 gets you a bonus episode. The last bonus episode was all about the Grammys. And yeah, special super shout out to all of our BFFs, which are Cristian Galindo, Evelyn Preciado, and Cassandra Tapia. Y'all are super real ones. And yeah, if you want to help support, like keep getting this podcast going, feel free to drop us a dollar. That'll like really help us out. So yeah, let's start the show. Let's do it live. Whew. Hello. Welcome back to a new episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. I am your host, Ruben, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. And this week's recession indicator is La Roche, famous stylist to the stars, notably Anya Taylor-Joy's stylist, but most importantly, Zendaya's like image constructor, formerly of RuPaul's Drag Race fame as a primary judge and of Legendary fame also as a primary judge. So I bring up La Roche because recently he styled Jeff Bezos's wife for the fashion weeks. Mind you, like, where do we even start with this? Like, Jeff Bezos has already aligned himself with MAGA. Like was part of the deal that got the Melania documentary sold, right? He bought it for $70 million, and it made like 10 million in its opening weekend, and it's set to be a super flop. And Jeff Bezos also fired something like 30,000 of his employers, 15K related directly to the usage of AI in his company. And so La Roche, styling Jeff Bezos's wife isn't a recession indicator because how broke do you have to be to like give up your freaking morals and like give up your community to style some ugly ass, like no fame ass bitches, like just for the paycheck? And there's like, if somebody who was of a different political persuasion than me, served, I think I would be able to give it up. I would be able to be like, all right, she served. But Jeff Bezos' wife has never been able to serve in her life, and not even like hiring like someone who was previously known as like one of the, primary image architects is gonna do it for her. So, La Roche was not even listening to people's criticism of him. He went as so far as to post a catty retort to people calling him out for dressing Jeff Bezos's wife, by doing a little shady hair flip and smile to the camera while "You Don't Owe Me" played. That's wild. Like, people are not trying to own you, La Roach. They are trying to call you in for helping the oppressor look good. Like, you can't be that hard up for money. I know Zendaya's paying you a pretty penny. I know Anya Taylor-Joy's paying you a pretty penny. Like, you could have dressed anyone, and you chose like the wife of like one of the most evil men in this country. Like, that is some broke bitch behavior. I commented on his thing. I was like, "Hey, I just want to know, like, are you that broke? If you don't respond to my comment, like, that just shows me you're broke as hell. And I'm sorry you're going through tough times where you had to dress this fucking whack ass biatch." So yeah, that's my recession indicator. La Roche dressing Jeff Bezos' wife. Yeah. On the other end of the spectrum is Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, actually, Mackenzie Scott, who just recently donated $1 billion spread out through different organizations, but most notably, a money to help like Treasure Pro the Trevor Project continue after its federal funding was pooled. She donated $45 million just to them. This brings her total of, well, her total of the last since 2019, up to 26 billion. That is more than all of the other billionaires in this country combined. So more than Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk and all these other bitches, she's like donated more than all of them combined. And she continues to do so to programs that focus on education, equity, and disaster recovery. I want to remind y'all that like all of these billionaires have the power, the funds to like end real ass problems like hunger and homelessness, and they choose not to, right? And Mackenzie Scott here is taking her billions that she earned for having a stake in Amazon very early as she was Jeff Bezos's wife, and she's just redistributing. She's doing what we thought, you know, we always say rich people should do. So shout out to Mackenzie Scott for, you know, being the opposite of broke bitch behavior. You're a real one. Another person that I want to say is a real one is Odessa Sion, who is like this white actress who was recently cast as a Latina in Sean Durkin's adaptation of Deep Cuts. She was cast as Zoe Gutierrez, who and you know, when it was announced, everybody was like up in arms because the character in the book is actually Latina, and Odessa Zion is famously not Latina. And you know, in like 24 hours, there was like so much commotion that Odessa dropped out of the role, but not before like a bunch of other Hollywood Latinos like signed an open letter telling like Hollywood to like to wake up to not like cast Latinos and shit. And you know, fair. I think that especially in racialized roles, there's already so few that, you know, they should go to the right, you know, actors, right? A black role should be played by black actors, and you know, Latino role should be played by Latinos. I will say that like there was more frenzy from like Latino Hollywood for this miscast than there's been for them to call out ICE or for them to call out like the sanctions in Cuba that have people starving over there. You know, one of the only people that have talked about like what's happening in Cuba have been Pitbull and Camila Cabello. But even they're on the wrong side of the argument because they've been like blaming the dictatorship, quote unquote, in Cuba, as opposed to the sanctions that have kept the people of Cuba starving, right? Like, why is one of the smallest, like, quote unquote, poorest country, like, being sanctioned by the US, right? Like, why, did we cut off their supply of oil, right? Because remember, like, Venezuela was supplying oil to Cuba quite a bit. But now that since Maduro was arrested by the Trump administration, the Venezuela oil has now been going to Israel for the first time since Maduro's reign. Like they've been selling Venezuela oil to Israel to fucking bomb people. And they've been starving Cubans. And instead of raising awareness for that, you know, these Latino actors have all in their self-interest, like, you know, join unionize to fight this like 25-year-old white girl who was too stupid to read the book and understand the role she was taking on. And mind you, like, she apologized right away and like wrote like hella paragraphs on like, you know, how dumb she was that she didn't read the book and that she didn't know that it was supposed to be Latina and that obviously somebody who was Latinx should play it. And, you know, she was really, you know, I think she handled it as best possible. It is funny because it did remind me of the show I Love LA, which is she stars in. She's like the second actress in that, behind Rachel Sennott. And like her character just gets into all sorts of stupid like Hollywood shenanigans. And this is something that would definitely happen to her character. So that was so fucking hilarious to like see unfold. I do think she did the right thing. Ultimately, Latina Jewish actress was hired. I don't know who actually took over for her. Something like Ariel something. I forgot. But yeah. Oh, Ariella Barrera was hired instead to play that role. And yeah, do I ultimately like the right thing happened? It is just annoying that it's so much easier for like, you know, the elite Latinos to rise up for this than it is for them to put out statements like actually defending their community. Meanwhile, like the regular ass people, regular ass Latinx kids are like out there fighting the good fight. Just recently in LA, like LA kids were like whooping ICE's ass, right? Barricading them in their detentions in the detention centers and like really like showing them that they're not welcome there. So shout out to the youth. There's been multiple instances where the youth has fought like ICE and MAGA assholes and have come out on top. So shout out to y'all. A special shout out, mostly to Marimar Martinez, who is a woman who was shot by ICE 5 times, and the gross ICE agents on record were heard saying like now she has 7 holes because she was shot 5 times, and she survived, and she showed up in court to press charges against ICE, and she spoke out saying that she was essentially like the voice of Alex Preti and Renee Good, who were also shot and killed by ICE, and you know that she was lucky to have survived. And I hope that you know the law rules in her favor, and this woman just has unimaginable strength for surviving and then fighting back against this fucking terrorist institution. That also brings up the fact that Alex Preti's murderers have been charged with murder recently after it was announced that they were actually Latinos. Like the people who killed Alex Preti, a goddamn angel nurse who was defending a fellow protesters, were fucking Latinos. So where do we even go with that conversation? Like, I, you know, we've talked on this podcast for a long time about like how like Latino and me myself in my own work and my essays and stuff have talked about how like, you know, the Latinx identity, Latino identity is not this like racial unifier thing for various reasons. First of all, it's not a race, it's an ethnicity that is comprised of like a vast amount of different nationalities, you know, all which have their own context about how they even immigrated to the US, right? There's, you know, there's a huge difference between like you know, a brown Mexican, black Central American and a white Cuban who all immigrated here, right? Like those are different, for one, like national or international agreements, right? For example, like Cuba had the whole Dryfoot agreement with the US for a long time, Whereas they didn't have that with a lot of Central American countries, or with Mexico, right? Then there was like US giving Venezuela's like refugee status for some time. Not entirely sure that that's still a thing, but like there's different specificities that where there's no like unifying thing for Latinos here. So with that said, due to everybody's like different status here, also comes people's like need to assimilate in a different way. There are people who are really tied with their culture, right? And there's people like these motherfucker ICE agents who go completely against their culture, and are out here murdering people, separating families because they're so detached. Like they are only Latino in heritage, not in like, not as far as community goes. Like I'm reminded in some ways, like how this mirrors how, there's a difference between like being gay and being queer, and that like being gay or homosexual is often just like, your sexual identity, whereas being queer is like a political identity. It, shows like solidarity with other folks outside of the norm, and also honors like a history of resistance against a heteronormative, cisnormative world. Similarly, I think that we need to start envisioning some sort of like political identity that might be based on Latinidad, right? Which is one of the reasons why I, identified as Chicano for a while. Still, in some ways, do, because Chicano was made with the purpose of like having like a politicized identity that goes beyond just like unifying us as like Mexicans or Latinos or brown people. And it was originally a commitment to like community, right? I don't know how successful that political identity ultimately has been, right? I think there's arguments to, fair arguments to be made against it, but I think we're at a time where something like that needs to be revisited again, because there's a difference between somebody whose ancestry is Latino, right, but goes against their own community, or maybe not, he doesn't even feel attached to that community, because you have to be feel like such a level of detachment to like, it's one thing to have no part of a Latino community, even if you are Latino. It's a whole other thing to join their fucking terror, like the people who terrorize them, to join ICE to terrorize the people that look like you or that come from the same place as you. That is crazy. Like, there's no way I am the same as them, right? Not, beyond possibly having similar like places of origin. So something of that needs to be explored. And this is not like me. I also want us to like wrestle with the fact that like our people are joining ICE. Like, what other than like our historical need to, or like aspirations of whiteness, right? Like that's what blancamiento was, right? And miscegenation was in, a lot of Latin American countries. Like, how are we fighting that historical need to aspire to whiteness? And how can we further fight it in our community so that our neighbors, our fellow Latinos, are not joining these ICE ranks? Because that's fucking, outside of feeling violent, it's just fucking embarrassing. Like, I don't even. And like, these eyes, like, I'm also reminded of how, like, a right-wing influencer, like Junior Peña, was like recently detained by ICE despite being like a right-wing, like, mouthpiece. And it's like, girl, no amount of aligning with whiteness is ever gonna keep you from being a target. Like, even if you don't have the nopal en la frente, right? I don't know how to translate that to that phrase into English in a way that would make sense. But even if you don't have the nopal en la frente, like, you're still like Latinx, you're still gonna be on the chopping block. So there's no amount of aligning with white supremacy that's gonna fucking save you. So it's best to protect your fucking community. There's no way that shitty ass ICE fucking paycheck is that good, or that you're so such a fucking low life that you would join their ranks. Like, wake the fuck up. Yeah, that is, yeah. Other than that, I am also, there has been things that have made me happy. Well, some things that haven't made me happy, which the Winter Olympics, it's been a mixed bag. I only really watched the skating competition. And this year, like, the men's stuff has been so disappointed because it's like obviously so fucking geared towards like the US team for whatever reason. Like, this one like homophobic asshole, like Ilya, quote unquote, the quad god, won like gold multiple times, for like some of the ugliest fucking skating I've ever seen in my fucking life. But, he was praised for doing backflips on the ice, something that was illegal until fairly recently. But he was like praised for it. Meanwhile, Suraya Bonaly in 1998 was like disqualified, or like points were docked. She was like essentially punished for doing backflips in like a way more elegant way. But it's racism once again. Like, she was a black woman who was constantly docked points for no reason. And but all of a sudden, when this fucking white twink, homophobic twink, like, does him, he's like super praised and like is like essentially gifted gold for it. Luckily, in further competition, he flopped so bad that he like got eighth place. So there is some justice in this world, but that was upsetting. On the other end of the spectrum, something that has made me very happy in the Winter Olympics has been seeing Alyssa Lui win two gold medals for ice skating. She did Love's like Promise, as well as Donna Summer's MacArthur Park. And she was just so excellent. And so there was just so much joy in her performance. And she's like a super rad biatch. Like, she was in pro-Palestine protest in UCLA, and is queer, and her and her other like skater teammates, Amber Glenn, are also queer and like really repping it for LGBT folks, and always using their screw like their moment on TV to spotlight and to speak for progressive causes, like against ICE and shit like that. And Alyssa's also like super rad. Like, she loves Pink Panthers and Charli XCX. And yeah, I just seeing her brings me so much joy. I keep going back to her Donna Summer's like gold medal winning performance, and just like experiencing all the joy of that performance. So yeah, that is what's been happening in these last weeks, and I hope that y'all have been finding a moment to keep sane. I know that the world isn't sane right now, but We keep on fighting along. Thank you guys for joining me. And yeah, let me know what's been making you happy lately, what's been making you less bitter. All right, take care. Before we head out, I want to give a huge shout out to all of our I Know Her level patrons, who are Fernando Peña, Salina Portera, Miranda, E, Magdalena Salcedo, Ronnie Leyva, and Bianca Garcia. Y'all are real ones. If you want to support this podcast, please drop us a dollar over on Patreon. The link is in the description.